It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Sports Hub app.
Fred, hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
What's going on? Are we on fire?
Yo, what's up, guys?
I had to be towed in by another adult male.
I love meatballs.
Do you?
Let's go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Go Red Sox.
Hit me like a bomb, bomb, bomb.
Wall Dick, where you at?
515-75.
Hello. Welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog. Dog's pretty big. Midget's pretty small. Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog. Midget with a dog. Dog's pretty big. Midget's pretty small. Midget with a dog.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, Town Fair Tire Studios. You can give us a call at 617-779-0985. We have a wonderful guy who works here in the station, but he is obsessed with television. He will tell you when celebrities' birthdays are. And you oftentimes after the show, I'll grab a soda from the cafeteria, and Alice will be on. And I went down there today, this morning, and It's a Living was on television.
I didn't even know that was... I couldn't even tell you who's in It's a Living, and I know it existed.
I don't know any of the characters' names, the actresses' names, but It's a Living is about a group of gals that work at a high-end restaurant at the top of a large building in Manhattan. And, you know, there are trials and tribulations, and there's a piano player there. And a lot of sexual harassment, but you wake up in the morning, you come in, and there's It's a Living on it right before 6 o'clock, prime time.
What if those people are still getting paid? Like, I mean, do you...
Guessing if you're on It's a Living that you didn't get a lot of back end on it. I'm guessing that it was pretty much but there was a blonde with Hulk Hogan-esque hair who was considered to be the beauty of the show. She's not on it a lot. I think the main woman is a brunette that they follow around. She's kind of the Alice of it. But there is a woman, very stringy Hulk Hogan-esque hair.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, and she was supposed to be the bombshell.
Ann Jillian is her name. That's the actress's name.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
She has done other work, I would imagine.
Yeah, I have to look.
Yeah, it's tough, John. You on IMDb? You just click that.
No, I'm on IMDb. Yeah, did a couple of episodes of The Love Boat. TV movies, Family Works, Mario and the Mob, but Walker, Texas Ranger, I guess, star spot.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, probably had a relationship at some time with Chuck Norris.
Yes.
I mean, you can't just co-star with the man. You got to have some sort of sexual attraction.
Sure.
So on a morning where you saw the Bruins lose, you do indeed wake up and just turn us off and put on the Logo channel and watch It's a Living. And then
six seasons, man. That's a lot longer than I thought it was.
That was never on, I don't believe that was ever on a network television. I believe that that was almost entirely syndicated, at least at some point during its run.
Crystal Bernard of Wings fame on this show.
Oh, much different looking.
Yes.
At the time.
Apparently. Yep.
Crystal Bernard.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then what's on before Alice? There's something we also kind of odd that's on before Alice.
Really?
There's a new girl in town, and she's looking good. Got a smile for a neighborhood. So, it's always a nice trip into the cafeteria because you have, you know what I did? I stood there and I watched about 5 minutes of It's a Living. Hmm. Dan.
Just Googled Logo Network. So this morning's schedule, you can get Facts of Life.
Oh, Facts of Life was on before 10 o'clock.
It's a Living is on at 6:30 again, another episode. Then Facts of Life, 7, 7:30, 8, 8:30, 9,
and then 9:30. Alice.
Then Alice for a good 4 hours. And you get part one of the Bardwell Caper of Laverne and Shirley on at 12:35.
Oh, yeah.
One, so two, three, four, five, six episodes of Laverne and Shirley.
So what's the average age of the viewer of the Logo Network?
Rich, I'm going to
let
you
network,
guess that.
It was the gay network. The Logo Network is supposed to be the gay network. Now, I don't know if they've changed their kind of identity, but I mean, if you're showing six Alices in a row, you've really committed to your programming. Alice's son gets very old, by the way. It just shows you the passage of time. Please hoop on the show.
Based in Phoenix, correct? I believe it's Phoenix.
John.
Based in Phoenix,
no,
Alice.
John. I mean, Miles from Phoenix.
Oh, really?
Miles. She breaks down on the way to L.A.
Uh-huh.
And gets a job at the diner.
Where's the diner located?
In I believe outside of Tucson.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Yeah. And then she just stays there. So there you have it. The Logo station constantly on. And then this gentleman, who's a wonderful gentleman, will be sitting and he'll come in and he'll be in the cafeteria and he'll be glued to the Facts of Life. Absolutely glued to it. And that show might have been on for 10 years. Because Blair goes through many, many changes. What famous actress was on Facts of Life first season?
Actress?
Oh.
Famous actress became a phenomenon, a famous actress. She was never on after the first season.
I'm trying to get the years right. Farrah Fawcett or something? Or that was a little earlier. I don't know.
So Farrah Fawcett played a girl at a girl's prep school?
I don't know.
She was at times, she was a femme fatale at that point. What woman?
When did that show come out? Like 80?
Late 70s.
Okay. I thought that was kind of Farrah Fawcett's like heyday was late 70s.
Yeah, but why would she play a girl at a boarding school? I mean, this is you had Miss Garrett, who was the head of the whole thing. That's all you needed. It was a child actress at the time. She became a phenomenon. She became synonymous with the 80s. No one has a guess.
I have no idea.
You guys
no.
are so uncultured, it's unbelievable.
I have no idea.
Young Molly Ringwald.
Oh, okay.
Young Molly Ringwald.
I know that was the show that George Clooney ended up having a role in.
And
that I do know.
Yes, and that was way later. That was when Edna's Edibles was going on. That was post.
She was into the weed?
I'm not going to dignify that with a response.
That would have been a very cool, you know, plot twist.
No, they were in Connecticut, New York, and she opened up a bakery.
Just going to say.
Edna's Edibles.
Money at the private school dried up?
Sure.
No, the gang graduated.
She became a drug dealer. Keep the private school going. It was for a good cause, you see.
Sure.
You keep the school open so students could learn.
No, the school had nothing to do with it. Edna had to move on because she had to move on with her girls.
Ah.
And they opened up Edna's Edibles in Poughkeepsie, New York. Not Schenectady. And so therein lies, and it was a very late Facts of Life that the gentleman was watching. It was, Blair had ballooned at that point.
And Joe Polnicek went from, like, motorcycle-riding tomboy to very good-looking woman by the end of the show.
I'm going to disagree with the good-looking part, but yes, Joe got past her tomboy roots at that point. But I would argue her looks improved in any way. In fact, if you're looking at that cast, Kim Fields came out the best.
In the end, yes.
Talking about Jugs. When she was
on, I was just talking about acting roles after the show was over.
No, she was on the show Living Single.
Right.
A couple knockers on her.
Right.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, you see Blair. What was the name? Blair begins with a W.
I don't remember her last name. Yeah. I just know her as Blair. I mean, we're on that kind of.
She pops up. Remember I told you my wife watches the Hallmark Channel? She'll pop up on those movies every once in a while.
I think those women might do those for free.
Yes.
Now that Lori Loughlin's off the case.
That's right. All of these movies have suddenly opened up and are looking for actresses.
Yeah, now that Lori Loughlin is persona non grata.
Lacey Chabert can't do all of them. You need
Candace Cameron trying to hold
Candace
it down.
Candace Cameron,
too.
Right.
She's got the religious aspect. She's like a Jesus
Candace
freak.
Candace Cameron. That's right.
She pulls in part of the audience. All right. Well, listen, if you can't watch It's a Living this morning, you're stuck with us. And the Bruins last night, underperforming. Tuukka Rask still excellent. Still a game that they could have won, that they hung around, and it was just a line change that screwed them.
I couldn't believe they were still in it early in the third period. I mean
that's
it was amazing. They were still there.
It felt like they were losing by like six.
Yes.
Yeah. And then they were right there, and a bad line change, or I don't know if it's a bad line change, but a line change came and bit them in the ass, and there you go. And then you get yourself a 4-2 loss. We will discuss that at length coming up in. Did you hear any of the bird stuff?
Yep, I did. We'll play that right around 8 o'clock.
Is it worth it?
Yeah, it's good.
Because I guess Mark Giamelli not feeling well.
Yep.
Not feeling well. Not up to snuff. Not happy. So we will have that for you in just a moment.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Sports Hub app.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Dutcher and Rich.
What happened last night?
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and last night is not great news for the Bruins.
Well, it took only 43 seconds to realize that this is going to be a long night.
Poke check by Achari, up to the near point to Translo. To the far point, it's fired. Rask kicks it aside. Wrap around, they score! Ryan O'Reilly got the rebound. Beat Rask over at the near post. And the Blues with an early goal lead it 1-0 over the Bruins here in Game 4.
So St. Louis struck first, and they struck fast, scoring their first goal in less than a minute. Their 4-2 win over the Bruins last night, a lightning-quick wraparound goal by Ryan O'Reilly, rather, that had the Bruins playing catch-up the rest of the evening. But then things looked a bit less dreary when the Pride of Weymouth buried one just minutes later.
The Bruins are changing. Heinen protects. Bumped, but it stays in. Chara, left circle. Shoots, Finnington the save. Rebound, they score! Zdeno Chara's point shot went off of Binnington. He left some loose change, and Charlie Coyle hammers it home. Bruins 1, Blues 1.
Dude, that organ player is ready immediately whenever the Bruins score.
Yeah, especially when Chara took the puck to the face. He was just like, hey, here's some happy music.
I mean, it's like...
And I like the crowd cheering when he got hit in the face with the puck, too.
Yeah.
And say what you will about Boston, but that doesn't happen. There's not applause when someone gets nailed in the face.
You see, I didn't hear a ton of applause. Well, I mean, it was funny. I didn't notice that.
Guy who hit him had a big, nice smile on his face after he hit him with the puck. So I saw it all. Well, I was in rapt attention.
Well, Weymouth's proudest son, Charlie Coyle, scored poking in a rebound of that Zdeno Chara shot. Coyle, who only scored 12 goals in an 81-game season, now has 9 goals in 21 playoff games. Meanwhile, the refs, they're letting everything go, man. Not one penalty in the first period. Perhaps a reaction to Blues coach Berube complaining about the officiating after Game 3. It was kind of strange because after tallying 17 penalties in the first three games, the Blues were perfect angels, apparently, in the first 20 minutes. But then Tarasenko added a second goal before the intermission. And as you mentioned, Fred, then came the second, which came with an enormous amount of blood.
Coyle wins the draw. Near point, it's McAvoy. Trying to throw it to the high slot, read by Schwartz. As Johansson had popped free. And now the Bruins turn it over. Right circle, it's fired. Blocked.
Hit Chara in the face.
Oh, Chara is down. Lost his gloves in the far circle.
It ramped up. It ramped up and hit him in the face. So he reached out to block that shot. And it ramped up and it caught him up high. He's bleeding pretty good from the nose, it looks like. Nose or mouth? Mouth, maybe.
So he's going to head off and get some repairs.
Yeah, Chara fell so hard after taking that puck to the jaw, you almost expected the ice to crack, just like timber. Well, Braden Schenn, he had launched one that struck Zdeno's stick, and somehow it deflected right there into his gob. But in the first Bruins loss, the team lost a defenseman to Matt Grizzlick. In the second defeat last night, they lost another D-man. Z skated off the ice, only to return in the third for morale reasons alone, since he didn't see the ice again after that. Until you saw during the TV timeout him getting on the ice and, you know, trying
a little stick tap to everybody.
Yeah. They didn't really seem too into it. But on top of that, the majority of the second period felt like one giant St. Louis power play. The Blues' forecheck was just relentless. And the time they spent just inches in front of Tuukka Rask was fairly unsettling. But when Connor Clifton went off for a hit to the head, the Bruins got a little shorthanded life breathed into them by Brandon Carlo.
On the near side, here's Bergeron. He'll wedge it ahead. Marchand working against Dunn. Pulls it in front of his bench. Saucered ahead. Bergeron far circle. Shoots Binnington the save. Rebound. They score! Brandon Carlo shorthanded Morgan. The 20th Bruin to register a goal here in the playoffs. And the Boston Bruins have tied Game 4 at 2 apiece.
Yeah, Marchand and Bergeron delivered one of the lone positives for the first line.
See,
I thought
that was a stake through the heart because you remember the Blues, even before they had the power play, had the puck in the Bruins in for over three straight
minutes.
Score. Could not score, and then the Bruins score shorthanded. I thought it was going the other direction.
No, I mean, the Blues can't score. I mean, they just can't. They have an incredible inability to score against this team. But then it was a honk alert in between periods. Mm-hmm. It's John Hamm wearing a St. Louis scarf which is I'm a
yeah,
big,
the hobo look going on.
I'm a big fan of scarves.
Just the side of Toronto.
Just a nice little scarf.
It's kind of nice in St. Louis, isn't it? Like right now, like what was
yeah,
the temperature?
Sure. No, it gets super hot.
I was going to say, what's the temperature yesterday in St. Louis?
Okay, St. Louis in the winter is 2 degrees. In the summer, it's 100.
I think the afternoon show were in T-shirts yesterday. Why is he wearing a scarf?
Because he's a dandy boy. He's wearing a nice scarf in there.
Is that a hockey thing? I mean, honestly.
No, it's not a hockey thing. It's a soccer thing.
Okay.
It's believe me, because if you go to an Atlanta United game.
Oh, yeah.
Dan just told me Wednesday's high is 91. Wearing a scarf. What are you doing? Oh, the arena gets so chilly.
Wear a hat like every other normal human being. Jesus.
Well, we're brothers in heaven, vitiligo. So, I mean, be careful what you say. I can say it. It's like, sure. You know, expressing a racial epitaph if you are that person.
Right.
I have vitiligo.
I apologize for my insensitivity, sir.
Well, yeah, I don't think you're in a position to talk about him, but I am.
You know what's interesting? You know, you guys say that the Blues can't score. I don't even know if Binnington's playing well because it's like the Bruins aren't testing him.
Well, it depends on the game, but like last night, I don't know what the and we'll talk to people that are at least one guy that might know, but they were able to do exactly what they couldn't do in game three. Yes, John.
I was just going to say the one reason St. Louis is able to score is if Tuukka Rask leaves a rebound around. And you saw on the Tarasenko goal, he was alone in the slot and the puck bounced right to him. And even on the game winner. I mean, that's when Rask allows a long rebound, that's when St. Louis scores. But if it's straight up, even if there's traffic in front, more than likely, Rask is going to stop it and the Bruins are going to clear it.
But I don't know what, because St. Louis didn't appear to be doing anything different last night, and I don't know what the difference is between Game 3 and Game 4.
Well, their forecheck was the difference.
But they want to forecheck every, I mean, what they want to do in every game is dump the puck and use their forecheck. They were had an inability to do that in Game 3. I'm not sure what changed in Game 4. All I know is if the Bruins are down to 5 defensemen, then all hell breaks loose.
Yeah, I mean, it's true. I mean, they look gassed. It's amazing how worn out they look. I mean, immediately after both Zdeno Chara in Game 4 and Grizzlick in Game 2 left, I mean, it completely changed the tone of the game.
Well, you also have to remember, and when Clifton was off, they were down to 4 defensemen. Well, I mean,
for like 3.5 minutes during a stretch.
The guys that were out there looked gassed, but the other part of it is you're down Grizzlick, you're down Chara. I mean, that's a very good offensive defenseman and your best penalty killer. And they somehow stood in there. They did look gassed, but they somehow stood in there. St. Louis can't play any better than they played last night.
Well, and also,
the game was tied midway through the third period.
St. Louis won, got the winning goal on sort of a fluke. So
yeah, Rask left a rebound, which almost never happens.
No, but it wasn't only that; is they got caught in a bad change,
and they got caught right. They got caught in a bad change. The Bruins have to do something poorly for St. Louis to break through. I guess is my point.
So you didn't feel the Bruins were dominated last night?
They were dominated, yeah, but St. Louis wasn't scoring.
Yeah,
that's the thing.
The thing is,
St. Louis had the puck 95% of the time. They were skating circles around the Bruins' net, and they still couldn't grab a lead that was safe.
No, I mean, it took a bad change. No, the Bruins were physically dominated last night, but it doesn't matter unless you score. And so it took luck. I mean, St. Louis got lucky. And that's why they scored.
I mean, I don't know. I just think you put that much pressure on a team and you spend that much time in their zone, good things happen. You can call it luck, but I mean, that's
Rich, that's not what happened. Thank you. That's not how they scored. They didn't score from that. They didn't put, it wasn't scoring because they
put pressure.
It was
a bad change plus a bad rebound left by the goaltender who made one rare mistake. And what I said yesterday, I still think holds true. If the Bruins play well, they win. And St. Louis doesn't have... St. Louis has no say in it. Bruins didn't play well last night. They weren't ready. And that's the other thing. Cassidy and Chara and everyone, the whole thing, the sentence they keep bringing up is an on-time start.
They didn't start on time last night.
Well, Gary Clark Jr. had to rock the house.
That's right.
You know what's funny is that I like Gary Clark Jr. That
not
is the
there.
Worst, most
no.
Like, why would you do that there?
Why couldn't we drop the puck at 10 after 8 and skip the concert?
Because
I don't understand.
Got to let people know that the NHL ain't half-stepping. It's got it's
Jesus.
Got
it's like, why
Grammy
do you need to show that?
Gary Clark Jr.
We don't need that. Don't show that on TV.
I'm indifferent on Gary Clark Jr. It's not like, you know, they had fish up there or something. But, yeah, just... I was with my son, and we were watching Family Guy, and I kept going back and going, why is hockey not being played? And it wasn't even anything in the arena. It was just Gary Clark Jr. jamming out,
man. 8:24 puck drop yesterday. 8:24.
Oh, Pierce was wrong. We were promised 8:22, damn it.
And I said it'd be later than that, but a gassed Bruins team took the ice in the third, as we said, with another D-man down, and then the Bruins faced the inevitable.
Petrangelo, right circle, fires, Rask to save, rebound, they score! O'Reilly swatted that rebound out of midair and down. And the Blues back in front. It's O'Reilly's second of the night.
Yep, and that was that. An empty netter finished things off, and the Bees dropped game four. The series is now tied. We have a three-game series ahead of us.
So there's what, I mean, the Jaff man has made his predictions. He says the Bruins in six. He thought they would split in St. Louis, and there you go. There you go. Best of three, home ice for the Bruins. And 2 days to figure out how exactly the forecheck was so on point for the St. Louis and how it the Bruins could not answer. Go ahead.
Can they win without? Can they win two games without Zdeno Chara?
I don't know.
That's a legit question,
because they've played well without him. And I know that they
didn't
did
last night.
They didn't last night, but they ended up clinching the game with Carolina without Zdeno Chara.
It's a little different. When you're up three games to none in a series
this.
That is not the final.
He's going to play.
I understand this. I think he's going to play too, but I mean, his jaw is broken. As a matter of fact, right after John Wallach's headlines, Cassidy spoke at length about what happened when Zdeno Chara went back there. And on top of that, he kind of called out a few members of his team. Not the defenseman, I'll tell you that much.
No, they didn't play well. No one did. I understand
third
that.
Third line looked good. The third line was like the one line that actually played well
last
night.
Charlie Coyle scored a goal, but was still a minus two. That's tough to do.
And if it wasn't for, was it Danton Heinen who had that the puck like right in front of him in an open goal?
Yeah.
And he just didn't even see it? Like that was
infuriating. Yeah, bounced past him, yeah.
Oh, and by the way, there was that one, like Tuukka Rask, when the puck was hovering behind his rear end and it was almost went over the line and just sat there for a minute. I mean, that should have been a goal.
Yeah, it could have been a lot worse. Yep. It's true.
Yep.
But we will get to Cassidy talking at length about Zdeno Chara, and it's pretty interesting.
All right, we will have that. Here are the headlines.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Miss something?
Wonder Woman was there, but she's lost all her powers.
Listen to the podcast on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app. Now back to Toucher and Rich on Boston's home for sports.
And the time is going to wind down the clock as we got some activity back in the St. Louis end. The linesman and the referees quickly get in there. And the St. Louis fans get a chance to celebrate a Stanley Cup final win. The St. Louis Blues victorious 4-2 over the Boston Bruins. Game 5 heading back to TD Garden on Thursday night.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich, and there you go. The Bruins lose 4-2 last night. Best of three, home ice Bruins. And Zdeno Chara took a puck to the face. He came back out with the full old mask, but he did not go back into the game. Mm-hmm. And you're saying Rich Cassidy had some things to say after.
He did. He was asked about what went on when he went to the back and what is his status.
I had some stitches, probably some dental work in the near future. He wanted to come out on the bench and be with his teammates. That's why he was out there. I don't know his status for Game 5. I mean, obviously, when he gets back home, he'll have to be reevaluated, see how he feels tomorrow for starters. So I can't say whether he'd play in Game 5 or not. I have no idea.
So Cassidy was also asked, what are you thinking as far as replacements?
Kampfer, or we have Vaakanainen, Lozon, and Zboril. That would be the route we'd go, and we'd have to look at Kampfer, obviously, first. He's been the one playing for in the playoffs, but it is another left stick, so we may measure that as well.
But then when taking a look at his defensive core, it seems that Cassidy wanted to step back and maybe call out someone else other than his defenseman as to what had been happening in the breakdowns as of late.
I think, you know, we've talked a lot about the defense here. Personally, I think our forwards got to do a way better job with our D out. The onus has to go on them. They've got to pull their weight in terms of puck support and helping out the D, finishing some plays. I mean, we had some lines tonight with very few shot attempts, you know, to rely on a 2-1 game. Yeah, we can win those games, but, you know, they're going to have to pull their weight, especially if these guys are out. That's just the way it is. That's the hand we're...
It's infuriating that just these lines disappear. I mean, especially like that first line, how they disappeared for, what, Game 2, and then they come back Game 3, and you're like, oh, my God, what an amazing game. And then all of a sudden yesterday, I mean, other than, of course, the assist on, Carlo's goal?
Mm-hmm.
That was very nice by Marchand and Patrice as well. Other than that, I mean, you wouldn't have even thought Patrice played yesterday.
7 forwards were a minus last night.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think I heard Patrice Bergeron's name called most of the time.
Yeah, it was Game 2 all over again.
Yeah, Pastrnak didn't have a bad game. At least he had some shots on net, but it was like Patrice was non-existent. And they can't keep their pucks on the stick, too. I mean, they were turning it over, especially Marchand, all over the place. Well, and
Bergeron's
that's something
hurt. I mean, there's no question.
But he looked great in Game 3. Like, yeah, weird thing.
Yeah, you can do that, but, I mean, he's hurt. There's no question about it. And he also doesn't have the benefit, Rich, during the day of choosing his own meals, as some players do.
Oh, you mean like...
Pasta bolognese.
Yeah.
Pasta meat sauce for lunch and pasta.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, not everyone just can do that whenever they want.
Well, Tuukka Rask even knows that. You know, I don't think he had a bad game, but he thought that the ultimate game winner was one that he probably should have stopped.
Ladies tee, slap shot, couldn't control it, rebound, goal.
Hit you in a bad spot, top, high.
Yeah, well, I got my blocker on it, but it's kind of like one of those you gotta not let it squeeze through. So try to control him, but, you know, I was just right on the stick.
And Backes knows, as you mentioned, that they got caught in that sloppy line change, but on top of that, the Blues just pushed back when they needed to.
They pushed back. They played harder than they did in Game 3. We've had times where we've responded well to that, and other times where we were, you know, slapping the puck around a little bit more, and that plays into their hand. I think that was more of the latter, but we found a way, you know, shorthanded to get a 2-2 game going into the third. You would have loved that to be our best 20 minutes of the series there in the third, but they found a way on kind of a, I don't want to call it sloppy line change, but they get the puck up and shot from wide that they find a rebound, put it in the net, and that's, you know, the difference other than the empty netters.
So Berube got what he wanted. I mean, after the first game, he went and he complained about it because he saw that on the power play, his team was getting absolutely smoked. In Game 3, the Bruins were 4-for-4, and he knew that if there were going to be penalties called, especially as sensitive as the refs were in Game 3, it was the absolute opposite in Game 4. Was it Petrangelo who did the embellishment when
behind the net? Yeah,
yeah, but he was hit and he did the thing with his face like, oh my God, and he showed it. They showed a review of it, and I'm thinking to myself, out of all the things that you let go, this is what you're going to decide to call in this game. It was very strange, but you kind of expected this happening. And of course Berube was peacocking, saying, you know, my team did a good job staying out of the box.
What we did better tonight, we stayed out of the penalty box. There wasn't a lot of penalties. We had a lot of 5-on-5 play. We had a lot of ozone time because of it. We did a good job of managing in the offensive zone, not throwing it away, working, keeping it, having some patience with it, you know, taking a good shot when we had one, but not getting it blocked, and then keep working it and grinding it. I thought we did a really good job there.
But even then, the Bruins can't really complain because they did get chances on the power play, and they couldn't do anything with them.
Blocked a lot of shots, too.
Yep.
Including Chara's. In which he got hurt, they blocked a lot of shots last night.
Yeah, the Bruins blocked a lot of shots last night.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I don't know if Chara intentionally blocked that shot, but he was certainly standing there.
Yep. And the Bruins defense. The thing is, do you play badly if you don't give up a lot of goals? You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah, St. Louis had a lot of offensive zone time, and we mentioned before they were in the zone 3 solid minutes. But I mean, the Bruins did sacrifice their body. They weren't getting the puck out, so it was kind of a push-pull type of deal.
Yeah, I mean, St. Louis didn't score. Mm-hmm. I mean, it took a bad change and a bad rebound for them to win the game. So, I mean, I don't understand what they did differently, because yeah. St. Louis played exactly the same. I don't know what the Bruins, why they couldn't combat it the same way that they had in the game three.
I think they're a lot more physical, so the Blues, in this game as they were in game three.
But they were tried to be physical in game three.
That's St. Louis's game, but, I mean, is it just as simple as the lack of the on-time start and the Blues got the early momentum and rode it for a while? Is it just that easy to describe?
Blaming Gary Clark Jr.?
Yes, the sweet song styling right. of Gary Clark Jr.
He lulled the offense of the Bruins to sleep.
Do you think that the Blues got to him? And then they said, oh, we're playing the Blues.
Yeah. You know, Bruno should be the flag waver for game six when it comes back home.
Yeah, they should just have like a rock and blues show.
It'd just be like Bruno, Jim Irsay, and Ernie Bach.
Yep, and they should play for 45 minutes before the game starts so everyone can turn the channel and then check back occasionally to see if this stuff's still going on, which is what I did. I just kept checking back. Are they not playing still? Why is this not going on?
I just knew it. I've expected it. I was like, all right, it's going to be like 8:23, 8:24. And definitely, then Brett Hull had to come out there. Did you see the pictures of him like flipping off Bruins players throughout the game?
No, I didn't see
that. It's great. Like, there's, you know, there's one, I believe it's of, I think it might have been, like, David Krejci or something skating by. And, of course, David Krejci's the one that brings the most ire, I'm sure.
Sure.
As a Blues fan. Right. And it's got, like, a hole with his middle finger right up to the glass.
Dad is a class act.
And by the way, Wayne Gretzky, what did he play, 18 games for the Blues?
Total. 18 games, and it was his turnover the cost of the series in the playoffs
that year.
You have no
right to claim Wayne Gretzky as your own.
What is that about exactly?
They wanted Wayne Gretzky at the game?
I know, but I thought St. Louis was a little bit more savvy than that.
I don't think that was a St. Louis call. I think that was a call by the league.
So Gary Bettman called the Blues and said, we want Wayne Gretzky. You will put him on the Jumbotron.
Yes.
Oh, it's more than that, though. There was a video that I posted from Game 3 where there were two different fans that got in a fight. It was a Bruins fan and it was a Blues fan, and the Blues fan's wearing a Wayne Gretzky Blues jersey. And that's, you know what, Ty Anderson said it best. That would be like having, during the NBA Finals, if the Celtics happened to be there, saying, ladies and gentlemen, Celtics great Shaquille O'Neal is going to come here and talk with us today.
I think you're overthinking it. The biggest star we've ever had in the league is Wayne Gretzky. Let's pop him in here.
I hope you're right, because the alternative is bad. The alternative makes him look really bad.
You know who's got some teeth? Wayne Gretzky.
Yes.
Teeth.
Yes,
indeed. Wayne Gretzky's gone through some hard times, for I'm told personally, is that not all wine and roses for Mr. Well, some wine, but not for Wayne Gretzky. Not great. We'll be right back.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh, yeah. Crazy. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. When we're not getting crazy with the town, we're talking about pucks, balls, and rackets.
Mm-hmm.
What do we got going there?
And the biggest sports story of yesterday.
Over to James now. He had 23,400, and his response was correct. His wager, a modest one for the first time, that takes him to 24,799. So, Emma, it's up to you. If you came up with a correct response, you're going to be the new Jeopardy champion. Did you? You did. What did you wager? Oh, gosh, $20,000. What a payday. $46,801. What a game. Oh, my gosh. What a way to start the week. Congratulations. We're going to say goodbye to James, too. We'll be seeing him again.
Oh, James goes down, finally, which was fantastic. If you watch people on the internet who did not want the spoiler to get out there, I guess that in, like, Alabama, Jeopardy airs in the 9 o'clock hour, and so it was tweeted out there that he ended up losing, and people lost their minds that they weren't going to be able to see it happen in real time, or they could, but they had the ending spoiled for him. So there you go. Jeopardy James goes down. He was just short of the $2.52 million that Ken and Jennings won. That, to me, sounded like a guy who just didn't want to play anymore. Because he was usually pretty good about his bets at the end, but it was like this surprisingly small bet.
There was so much sexual tension going on in that room.
I've never seen a person who had more difficulty smiling than this guy, James. Like, when he would smile, he was one of those guys who just smiled with his mouth and nothing else on his face.
And he went to high-five the woman, and then she went to shake his hand, and it was a classic. I mean, it was really a very sexually charged moment.
Yes, it was.
From two people who know their way around a bedroom.
Yep, a ridiculous amount of money he ended up winning. The 32 games. And, matter of fact, only two of them he could have lost if he incorrectly did not get Final Jeopardy correctly. As a matter of fact, there were 11 of those 32 were perfect games in which he had no incorrect responses.
That's ridiculous.
The most fascinating thing about this guy is that he
has a crappy job, probably.
What's that?
Crappy job, probably, because he just sits there and knows nonsense.
No, he's a sports professional sports bettor.
Oh, yeah, so he's a crappy job, yeah. So he doesn't know anything. Okay.
That was the whole thing, is that that's what he does for a living, is he just gambles on sports.
So he makes sports even less tolerable.
There was a book, he said, that he found online by somebody who had been on Jeopardy before, and I guess they worked with somebody else. And he said, like, you know, no one else had, like, bought it. There were, like, no reviews on Amazon. But it was about things to expect when you're on there, and the one main thing he said that he got out of it was how to work the clicker properly.
Mm.
Like, there's a certain way to do it, like, and I don't know, and I didn't actually read, like what the specifics were, but I guess that if you press it too early, it locks you out for a number of seconds.
Yes.
So you know those people who, like, jam on it a bunch and just never get in?
Yeah.
Well, that's why, is because apparently you can't press the button before the entire question is finished.
And if you do it beforehand, then you are not going to be able to jump in. So that was almost part of the reason he was such a champion at it, is that he knew how to work the clicker better than anybody else because he had read this book that some guy and nobody else read and put on Amazon.
A whole book.
Some guy,
how to play Jeopardy.
Well, I guess he tried for years to get on, and he finally was able to get on the show.
So how much did he win?
Like $2.4 million.
So he's going to walk away with a cool $600,000 after it's all said and done.
They probably get a little more, over a million.
I don't know. Government tends to take a big bite.
Well, they take half. I mean, you know.
At least.
Well,
at
okay.
Least.
Well, then he gets a million. You got 1.4, 2.4. He's probably going to walk away with $1 million.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Not too bad. So he said the approximate number of years he tried to get on Jeopardy was 13 before being selected as a contestant. He's 34 years old.
Pretty cool. So he's been trying since he was 20?
Yep, when he was in college. He was kept trying to get in.
I don't understand why. Clearly, he knows a lot. Clearly, he gets just about every question right. I would think at all of the tryouts when he aced everything, how did the producers not look at him?
I don't know. That's
too
a great
much
question.
Of a sex symbol, and they didn't want to...
musky in here.
They didn't want to...
Somebody get me a fan and blow this musk out the door.
They didn't want to, you know, intimidate the audience with his sex appeal.
Got it.
I mean, when this young lady won, I mean, I'll tell you what, it was like a scene from Caligula. The tension between them when they went to high five.
Interesting choice of movie.
Well, you know... Caligula had actual actors in it having actual sex.
Mm-hmm.
Who was the famous guy that was in Caligula?
The guy who was in Clockwork Orange.
Yes.
What's his name? Malcolm McDowell.
Can you imagine how terrible... That was a Gucci. Can you imagine how terrible that would be to watch Caligula? Like, if you were looking for pornography? Like, just like a horrible Guccione-directed film.
That was a movie that was on HBO when I was a kid, and I think they had a R-rated version and, like, a bad version. Like one that was, like, you could show at 8, and then one that was only on, like, late at night.
Well, there was penetration, so I don't think they could show it on HBO. But they probably showed an R version of it, yes, indeed. But there was straight sex in that bad boy.
They used to do that. They used to have two different rated versions of certain movies. They did that with a movie called Excalibur. Do you remember that back in like the 80s? There was a movie called Excalibur, and there was a PG-rated version that they showed during the day, and there was an R-rated version that they showed at night.
What about Black Emmanuel?
No, I do not know.
Saw that one.
That.
Black Emmanuel?
I saw that one. There were like six Emmanuel movies.
None of them attractive woman. Emmanuel, never an attractive woman. Very much to the taste of the French society at that point, their ideal of a woman.
I remember there were one or two in there that I enjoyed.
Well, I'm sure you played with yourself, but the Emmanuel was
now the acting,
just like young lady
notch.
Chatterley. She was never much to look at.
Yeah. Which one was Sylvia Crystal in? Was that Chatterley, Lady Chatterley?
Sylvia Crystal, the one with the red hair?
She was in the movie My Tutor, I believe.
Oh, no. She was above that. My Tutor was a major release.
No, I understand that, but I think she was in that as well as all of those Lady Chatterley or Emmanuel movies. I have to check.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think that you've missed the boat on that.
Okay.
I just remember turning on the TV and just being seduced by the song, Black Emmanuel.
Ran right out and got the soundtrack, did you?
Yeah, I did. It's a 2-hour remix of Black Emmanuel. All right, no commercials here, just the headlines. We'll continue to talk about softcore porn from the 1970s and 80s.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. On an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
There's always a reason for better health, and here's Carlo with his.
My program with Awaken 180 actually started when my daughter was born, and at that time, I was over 300 pounds. I felt I owed it to her to better myself and my family, of course. And I'll never forget, it was my fourth week. I came in, and my goals for that week were not met. And they found the positive in everything. And that was the biggest thing for me. Awaken 180 has provided me confidence, not only in my day-to-day eating, it's my day-to-day role as a father, as a friend. And that's something that for the longest time, I didn't have.
The benefits are endless after losing weight with Awaken 180. Carlo dropped his 84 pounds and he did it in under 4 months. Scale results, life results, with a solution for weight loss online at awaken180weightloss.com.